This is Dave Gloetz of MrRadio.org. I'm here with Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. Thanks for joining me today, Ben.
You're welcome.
Today we're talking about Ben's column in the October 9, 2008 edition of the Reader titled October Surprise. Ben, your article has two parts. The first explores the reality of property tax bills, and the second explores what I'd call fantasy. Specifically, you spent a bunch of time imagining how your candidacy for the position of delegate to the Constitutional Convention, the Illinois Constitutional Convention, would fail because of ballot challenges and the lack of clout.
Right.
I've been wanting to have an excuse to talk to people about the Constitutional Convention.
Okay.
With your permission, I'd like to explore the ConCon, as it's called.
Go ahead.
Because what's going to happen November 4th, Election Day, is Illinois voters are going to be faced with a referendum question asking whether they believe that Illinois should have a Constitutional Convention to allow delegates who are elected by the voters to the convention to make changes to the existing Illinois Constitution. And that's something that the existing Constitution provides for every 20 years, and it's up this year.
Right.
Even though your article doesn't specifically talk about this stuff, I'm kind of using it as an excuse to talk to our listeners who I think are going to be, for the most part, mystified about why they should vote yes or no on this question.
It's understandable.
So just let me go over some basics as I have been reading.
Go ahead.
If voters do approve the referendum for the Constitutional Convention, the General Assembly, at its next legislative session, must provide for electing two delegates to the convention from each legislative district, which is essentially the state Senate district throughout the state.
Yeah.
The General Assembly is also to designate the time and place of the convention's first meeting, which must be 3 months after the election of the delegates. In your article, you talked about the unlikelihood that you would be elected to be a delegate.
Right.
One of the first things I want to talk about is the process for the election, because I don't think anybody understands what's going on here.
Yeah.
I looked at the last Constitutional Convention in 1970 as a model.
Wow.
First of all, you can, as you said in your article, get nominating petitions to get people to sign your petition to be a candidate, to be the delegate.
Right.
If any district gets more than four people who have valid nominating petitions, then we have two elections. We have a primary to narrow down to four.
But wait a minute, but there's two that get elected from each district.
Correct.
What triggers a second election?
If there is one, just one district with more than four candidates, then there would be a primary, and only in that district would people vote in the primary.
Let's say 10 people run. How do they determine who gets to run in the next election and how many candidates?
I believe they're going to narrow it down to the top four.
I thought the city was really stupid, but the state, what a waste of money.
Then the General Assembly has to schedule two elections, and it can go a couple different ways. They could have a special primary election in 2009, and then have the general delegate election coinciding with the regular general election in 2010.
Yeah.
Or they could have primary elections coincident with the 2010 general elections, then schedule a special delegate election in 2010. So the idea here is to try, or one of the objectives is to try to minimize the cost to the state.
Okay, well, we've already maximized the cost by having two elections. If we just had one, if you wanted to minimize the cost, you wouldn't have the cockamamie primary. Why would you even want a primary? Who cares? Did they have a primary in California when they elected Schwarzenegger? I think like 1,000 people ran for governor. Why would you even have a primary? I'm glad you told me about this. This is so bizarre. I think I might write an article about it.
Well, you've got about 3 weeks to write about it.
Well, it's utterly absurd. I was going to cast a vote yes for the ConCon because I just like to shake them up. But this one is so absurd, I may vote no just because it's so absurd. You may have now solidified my yes vote. I don't know. I'll take a walk today and think about it.
What? Well, what I'll do is our listeners can look at the description of this interview on MrRadio.org and find a link to the document created by the Legislative Research Unit that describes the process.
I thought Chicago election code was ridiculous, but the state has lost its mind with this ConCon stuff. Why
okay,
would
well, let's move
elections?
On. I got it. Let's move on.
What a waste of money.
The candidate requirements are just like for a legislator. You have to be 21 years old, a U.S. citizen, and a resident in the district in which you're running for at least 2 years. And then you have 92 days to file a nominating petition from the date that they open up candidacy. So why would you want to be a delegate?
I would be a delegate because I would want to change the law governing, among other things, TIFs, property taxes. I toy some days with the notion of term limits. I might want to increase the state income tax, which is more progressive, and thus enable municipalities to decrease the property tax, which is more regressive.
So today we have, by constitution, we have a flat income tax that's roughly 3%, One of the subtleties about this, one of the reasons that constitutional convention might be called for, is we have two kinds of laws, basically, in Illinois. Those that are enshrined in the Constitution, and then there are the ones that are passed by the General Assembly. The General Assembly cannot pass a law that contradicts what's in the Constitution. That's one of the reasons for having a constitutional convention, or CONCON, is that so delegates can change the stuff that can't be changed by statutory law. And one of those things, as you say, is the income tax.
Yeah.
So what other states have what are called progressive income taxes, which means if you're in a higher income bracket, you get taxed a higher percentage.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that sounds like a good idea. So that's some of the things I would want to change. What would you want to change?
I am really annoyed about the budget process. The Constitution calls for that the state government cannot pass a budget that is not balanced. But somehow, this year, the state did that. The General Assembly passed it, and the governor went and started slashing a bunch of programs that arguably were very important programs. There's something really dysfunctional there, and I would want to fix that. Probably wouldn't want to be one of my number one priority. Another thing was merit selection of judges. This was also put before the voters in 1970 after the Constitutional Convention then. The system we have today is that people elect judges, and some have argued that that's a mistake because then you have judges running on a partisan basis, which is in some ways goes against the idea of objectivity in the judiciary.
Yes.
And in other states, what they have is they have a panel that is appointed by various elected officials who then select judges based on their record and then may be appointed by the Supreme Court. So you may have judges who are already established in their profession weighing in on who are the competent people to become judges. And many argue that would be a much better way. But the Constitution prevents that right now.
Yeah, I think about that. On the surface, I am very open to the idea of merit selection. I have to think about it a little more.
How about this one? A difference in the way that legislative districts are redistricted every 10 years.
Yeah, that's such a scam. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. There's, the more you talk about it, the more I'm certain I'm going to vote yes. So, yeah, that would be a great thing to look at. I've been thinking a lot about this, and my larger point in my story is that it'd be very difficult to accomplish anything with a state constitutional convention because I presume that the same forces who control the state would be controlling the constitutional convention. So if you can't change things at the state level, it'd be equally difficult to change them at the constitutional convention level.
But you said in a previous interview when we talked about local school councils, the state created local school councils so people could vote locally for the governing body for their schools. And the city is arguably going away from that. One of the devil's advocate points I made was that, well, the city has a valid argument there. If they're going to be held responsible for school performance, then they should be the ones that are allowed to make the decisions about the school. And your rebuttal to that was, well, if you agree that democracy is the best way to do things, local citizens should be allowed to make that decision.
I've since changed my mind since last week. I now believe in dictatorship.
No more democracy for you.
I think Cuba is the model that we should all be following. Wait, aren't we already following? I think that most people in the state of Illinois, despite their moaning and groaning, are content with the process that we have here. I mean, we reelected Blagojevich by a significant margin. So if people were so dissatisfied, they would have ousted him. They weren't. And they keep reelecting Mayor Daley with upwards of 70% of the vote. If they were so dissatisfied, they would oust him.
However, I think there are lots of people who are not happy with the status quo and didn't vote for those people. And they would like to make a change, but they're not going to run for public office because they have their own lives to lead and they're not interested in making that commitment. They might make a commitment to be a delegate for a year or less so they could try to change the things they strongly believe in and inspire other people to vote for them. So progressive ideas can then have a voice in state law that currently do not.
Well, there's something to be said for that. And the most obvious support to that is the fact that Michael Shackman, whose name is equated with the ban on patronage hiring and firing, his case against patronage hiring and firing stemmed from his unsuccessful run for CONCON, the original CONCON, when he was a young lawyer living in Hyde Park. And he alleged that the system was rigged against him because the machine forced city workers to work on behalf of his opponent. So I think your point's well taken, that good things can come from an election in which independents, reformers, unusual types of candidates run.
Well, I guess we'll leave it there.
Very good.
Ben Jarofsky, the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome.
This is Dave Gloetz. We've been talking about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.